now's the time to focus on a new church. I just thank God for it. That's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. It's the way God made us. God gave Israel feast. He's given us certain mandated things, but other things can be added to that as long as we honor God. Amen. He told those men, you get yourselves up in Jerusalem at least 3 times a year. Get there together with your brothers. You bring your tithes. Go on, you get in that temple. You rejoice in what God's given you. Yes, sir. They ate it. They made them sacrifices, and they had to eat of that, and they rejoiced. He even told them to get strong drink on one occasion. He did. We ain't got to have that today. We got Holy Ghost. Woo, Lord of the Lamb of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. You won't need strong drink if you have the Holy Ghost. Now, we don't believe, we don't think it's right anyway, but I'm telling you, if you get filled with the joy and the Holy Ghost of God, you won't need the bottle. I'm telling you that right now. Praise the Lord. But the point was, is God wanted them to be happy. He wanted them to rejoice in what he'd given to them and the blessings that he brought to them. And they added some feasts. Hanukkah got added. And the time between the Gospels, the feast of Esther and her time, and Esther got added. And can't think of the name of it, I'm right now, it's escaping. But anyway, that was added during the time of the reign of the king of Persia, and the Lord just blessed them and did wonderful things. Amen. And they instituted that feast. And so they added some to it. The Lord didn't criticize them for that. Matter of fact, Jesus, when he was on earth, he celebrated those feasts. He did. I'm just going to tell you, don't get caught up in a lot of things. Folks want to sometimes focus on areas they don't need to be focused on. Just miss it, you know, and just get all caught up in a controversy and fighting. We're fighting. Just praise God. Just worship God. Thank God for what he's given you. Enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Amen. There comes a time for us to really enjoy. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. And there comes a time that we just rejoice in our Savior and the thing that we got peace in your home. That's what we're after today. You ought to be thankful for it, amen. God's given you and blessed you. You ought to honor God with it. Don't become proud, lift it up. Don't think you're better than anybody. Bow and be humble and give God praise and thanks for what he's given to you, amen. God's good to us. What I want in this church these next few weeks as we do celebrate, just guard your spirituality. That's all I'm telling you. Guard your spirituality. Rejoice in what God's given you. Come to church happy. Don't come all drug out. Come to church ready to give God praise and glory, amen. Rejoice in the blessings of the Lord, but keep your soul full of God and full as much as you may. Feed that physical. Make sure you are equal, even more so. Feed that spiritual man, amen. Because he's got to be fed, amen. He's got to be fed above all things. Amen. I'm excited. I thank God to see you here this morning. I want you to go to John's Gospel, chapter 16. I'm going to share some things again there today. We're going to read this verse we've been reading for a while, and I hope you're not bored yet with it, but John 16 and verse 8, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. If there's ever a time we needed to see conviction, it's now. The church is the moral restrainer in this world. We are the convincer. We ought to be here to convince this world of what is right and what is wrong. And any government that needs a definitive answer on what is moral or immoral ought to look to the church, and the church ought to give them an answer from the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And then ought to bring that conviction, and we around us, the people around us who get in our presence, ought to be convinced of what is right and what is wrong. Whether or not they respond to that, that may be one way or another. But I'm telling you, this work of conviction is the Spirit's work in the church today. Would you say amen to God's word? You may be seated this morning. I haven't forgot about the announcements. I'm going to do them after I preach. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But I want to share again with you this business of convincing the world of righteousness. And if it seems that I repeat myself a little bit, it's necessary. I was talking actually with someone in the church, and it was just that, I don't know, maybe even that afternoon or so, about the message, and the subject came up, and I said, well, you know, I just preached on that this morning. It comes back to what it was. I said, what was those two principles I stated? And there was a pause, and I knew repetition is necessary. Amen. There was that pause. Well, I didn't write it down. Well, I didn't write it down. I gave you this business of righteousness, and I want to hit it again and drive it home. We're going to be in the Gospel of John, and we're going to share some things there with you again today. About the righteousness that's been established by Jesus Christ. He said he would convince the world of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. I want you to understand something. We've got this idea today that Christianity is invisible. That God is invisible, but Christianity and Christ is not. He became man. And I know that I cannot see him, but he lives in the church. The church is his body. And we've got this idea that we have placed Christianity as just a heart issue. And God's just living in me. You can't see it and what God's doing. I'm telling you, if God's working in your life, I'm going to see something happen. Yes, amen. But Jesus said, I'm going because you don't see me anymore. In other words, there was something important. He had been seen, but he's not now going to be seen. But there was important that he was in this business of Christ righteousness. I gave you two principles, and we're going to look at them again. We're going to study a little more on them. I want you to see them. If you didn't write them in your Bible, you make sure you do so. John chapter 5. They go together. You can really call it just really one principle. I just expressed it as two ideas and concepts are expressed with it. In John chapter 5 and verse 30, Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. But as I hear, he said, I judge, and my judgment is just. Why is his judgment just? Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. That's the only time you'll make right decisions. That's the only time you'll make a just a judgment. It's when in so doing, you want to accomplish God's will, and you do it according to God's word. John chapter 7, he mentions it again in verse 17. If any man will do his will, and that's literally that word, if any man will. It's not a suggestion. It is the idea if any man is willing, or he wills, he chooses to do his will. Show me the man who wills to do the will of God, who chooses to do the will of God. obeyed that form of doctrine. From the heart you obeyed. He said it's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, so understand that when we talk about someone doing the will of God, we're not just talking about simply the idea of a servant obeying the master. When I got the job done, that's all that matters. You must care about not only what you do, but how and why you do it.
Amen.
You've got to know that. I'm going to tell you, there's sometimes my feelings are just going nuts. We're going every direction. I'm pulled by this. I'm pulled by this emotion and that emotion, but I got a job to do. I got something to do that I know pleases God. Amen. And by the way, I could have went yesterday. You know, some things I told my daughter, some things are just natural. They just flow out of it. I tell myself a little bit today. I don't have to have much encouragement to study or to preach or to teach the saints. I love that. It's what God has helped me to do and calling me as my chief.
Of the world given to sin and iniquity. The king came to Jerusalem, and what is the condition of Jerusalem?
tongue, with which can make a difference in the world. Glory to God. Woo, hallelujah. We might have a multitude around here, and worship, and God's going to help us to find that one or two that might make a big difference in our society. Glory. But the Bible said that he went down there in Jesus' arm, and he knew what he had been there a long time, and that case, and he said, verse 6, wilt thou be made whole? That's the first thing. That's a choice. That's a decision. That's a desire. Where you at? You want to get out of where you're at. I see where you're at. I see your infirmity. I see what you're doing. I see where you're at, but do you know where you're at? That's the problem. Our folks today don't see themselves as in a place of infirmity and sickness. No, we're trying to make it look better than it really is. It's a worse, it's a more horrible picture than we paint, church. We need to understand this culture's dying. Our society's dying. Our nation is dying. When the biggest industry is the health industry, you got problems somewhere. Sin is overcoming us. And Jesus says, do you want out? Do you want a way out? Do you want to be made whole? The first thing is that you've got to do is you're going to do the will of God. You've got to be willing to admit where you're at. There's two things this man expressed. He, number one, admitted his incapacity. He said, sir, I have no man when the water's troubled. He indicated right there, yes, sir. He didn't argue with Jesus. He didn't say, I'm not going to live with it like you think. I'm going to be here 38 years, but I don't make it anywhere. I don't need your help. No, he admitted, I don't have help. I need help. I have no man. I have nobody. I am outside, and I need help. That's the first thing. You never can see a man get saved until he admits he needs help. That's just the way it is. He's got to come to that place. And until you can bring a man in, just about, well, save your breath between your bra. Went to witness to a man yesterday, knocked on his door, and he came out. When everything going good, folks don't really want to come. But you know what? I just talked to him a little bit, but I said, the Lord just told me to move on. This man is comfortable. He doesn't yet want to move on. He doesn't want to admit that he's in need of God. I mean, again and again. This church must rise above mediocrity. I will spur you on. We must not be a church that's making excuses for sin. Our church world is soothing the people in their sins. And we're making excuses for wrongdoing instead of providing a way out. We've got a Lord that has said, come. We've got a Lord that has said, leave your sin. We've got a Lord that has said, go and sin no more. We've got a Lord that has said, arise. And that's enough. Oh, but they won't hear the gospel. Well, I'll tell you right now, if they'll get in that place where they realize they're incapacitated and have a desire to get out of it, one word of the gospel, they come over the theater. Jesus is here. He'll save you from your sin. And I'm here to tell you, on the streets in River Creek, over there on Mossy Lane or whatever it is, it might be on the porch, it might be in the living room, it might be out on the street. I'll tell you what they're going to do. They're going to find an instant. The drug addiction is gone. The alcoholic addiction is gone. The sin is left there. Why? Because they got up and got sin, got up. They realized where they were and they wanted out of the way. There's first the lifting. There's second the leaving. Take up your bed. Too many times we leave the bed and we end up going back and laying there. Pick it up. Make it. Carry it. Move on. You can't stay here any longer. You're now a healed man. You don't belong at the pool of Bethesda. Woo! You got a call to do. Pick up your bed and move on. The problem is there's times we need to burn our bridges and we haven't burnt them. There's times we're leaving little escape routes so we can find a way back. And what if it don't work out? I'm going to promise you right now, you leave an escape route and you end up taking it. You leave a bridge back to the world and you'll take that bridge back to the world. The pressure will come. The difficult time will come. And you'll find your way back to sin. Burn that thing. Get it out of the house. Break it up. Do whatever you got to do. Cut off the relationship. But know this. I'm going to take up this bed and I'm not going back to it. I'm going to live where God has told me to live. There's the lifting, there's the leaving, and there's the living. He didn't just say arise and take up your bed. He didn't say arise, take up your bed and look around and ask. He said, walk. Now, you can't walk without going somewhere unless you're on a treadmill. That's simple enough, I guess it. He wasn't on a treadmill. That means when he put one foot in another, he'd be going somewhere. Walk. That's what he couldn't do. Because you know what God wanted him to do? He wanted him to get out of where he was. He wanted him to pick up his bed so he didn't go back to it. And then he wanted him to live in the power of what God had given him. Walk, man. That's not what you've been able to do, but you can do it now. Walk. Glory to God. You've been healed. That's the power of the light, and that's somewhere where we got to get to. Let folks know, look, man, you better turn away from what you are. You better realize what you are. Get up and get out of this place. Take up your bed, bring your bridge behind you, and walk on, but walk. Live in the power of what God has done for you. He's given you his salvation. Live in the power of it. If he's given you forgiveness, live in the power of it. If he's sanctified you, live in the power of it. If he's filled you with the Holy Ghost, walk in. If you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Glory to God. The problem is many times we lift, but we don't live. We don't walk. And they found him. Found him a little later on. He didn't realize even who it was at this point. And he's carrying his bed. Again, there's this controversy. The Lord has told him to do something that's going to disappoint the religious crowd. He's going to write it down. He's become a radical saint, true, born-again believer. There's a majority of this church world is going to stick their nose up at you and reject you. He's going to mark that down. Now, if you just want to blend in and be a nominal Christian life, you'll find acceptance in 100 places. But if you want to branch out, if you want to get on fire, whoo, glory, if you want to live the fullness of this life, then look out. They'll blister you. They'll say, ah, you're overzealous. Ah, you're going too far. Ah, you're a little bit crazy. Well, crazy or not, I once was lame, but now I can carry my bed instead of living. I once was blind, but now I see. But you don't carry your bed on the Sabbath, boy. Don't you know that's against the law? I don't know anything about the law, and I know about the life that I got. All I know is that a man told me to get up and walk, and I've never been able to do it until he told me to do it. Glory to God. And I'm telling you, when Jesus says do it, do it. It matters if it disappoints the crowd. It doesn't matter if nobody out there likes you. They think it's strange that you don't run with them. They're the same that trust and riot. They think it's strange that you don't go to the places you used to go to. Don't worry about it. You just take your bed up and walk. You do exactly what he said to do, and God will meet you where you're at. Amen. And listen, what he said. He didn't know it was Jesus. He said, Jesus healed him, he left. And he said, well, who is it that took up? Told you to do that. Well, I don't know. So afterwards, in verse 14, Jesus found me. I'm going to tell you right now. We talk so much about finding the Lord. Let me tell you right now. You were among that crowd. I was that impotent, lame, halt, blind, decrepit crowd. And out of the crowd, he said, rise, take up your bed and walk. Oh, glory. But he's not going to leave you there. No, sir. He's not going to leave you just with new life and no direction. He's going to come to tell you how you need to live that life. And he found this man. The Bible said him. He found him in the temple. I like that. You know what? He found him in the temple. This man had enough sense to not be down at the pool. He didn't find him back at the pool of Bethesda. When he got out of there, he didn't go back there and hang around and just look around. No, sir. Where is he at? He was in the temple. What do you reckon he's doing? I've got to know. He must be worshiping and praising and giving thanks to God Almighty. This man has realized. Woe be unto the people who say they're saved. You're the best. want to do God's will. I want you to hear what I had to say this morning, church. God wants to save your families, I believe that. But you need to learn to work with him and not against him. This work of conviction is something where we've got to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And when he's put them in the fire, leave them in the fire. When he's put their feet to the flames, you pray that he makes it harder. Come on now. When your loved ones are getting irritable, getting downright mean because there's so much under conviction, getting angry with you, don't you soothe it. You smile, you love them with every grace of God that you've got in it, and you let God just pour his flame on your heart. Until they get so downright miserable that in their misery, God can reach to them and wake them up. Oh, Lord. Don't dare lighten their load. Don't dare take away their misery. Let them feel the full brunt of it. Come on, I know what I'm talking about. Let them feel it until they're agonizing, until they're grieving. Charles Finney, one of the most successful revivalists this nation has ever known. Not only him, others. They would come to God under the fall of the conviction in his knees. They would writhe on the floor like a snake. They would fall in the ditches, groaning, just grieving and agonizing under their sin. And he'd come along and say, it's going to be all right. Don't you worry now. It's going to be all right. Now, you need to not be so hard on yourself. No, you know what they said, man? What's your sin? Confess it. Is it adultery? What is it? Have you been living in fornication? What? Confess your faith to God. Whatever sin's coming to your life, whatever reason you're ever going to get to, is when you come to God and have repentance and full confession of your sin. Do it now, man. All the conviction's there. While you're feeling alone, turn from the God now. Where is it that's up in front of your mind? Which sin's hanging from your eyeballs? And confess it to God and turn away from it right now. And I'm telling you, pretty soon, the conviction would lift and the grace of God and the love of God would fill your heart because they turned in righteousness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, until God can reach you. Woo! Because we're in this for God's glory. Here in the same house with him, it's going to get uncomfortable for you. It's going to be uncomfortable for you. It'll be hard for you. It'll be a test for you as well. You trust God to know what he's doing? You pray for the salvation. You trust in God to engineer the circumstances to bring. God has to engineer circumstances. It's just the way we're constituted. God has got to engineer the circumstances to bring the feelings to a place where he can wake a man up in his reason. There's never been a man saved apart from his feelings being excited and stirred in a sense of judgment and conviction. And that might be some pseudo-conversions. They're not real conversions. I'm telling you, this one will make you take your bed up and walk. Woo! This will make you go to the temple and worship. This one will make you want to walk on and never go back to your sin and go over to God. Hallelujah. When we find him one day converted and the next day back to the bottle, I say there was no conversion. When you find him one day converted and the next day back in the fornication, I say there's no conversion. Because when you get this conversion, you want to move on. The heart's been changed. I want to know the will of God from the heart. I'm telling you, this gospel's been belittled too much, church. It's not belittled. It's sufficient to say. It doesn't need a support group. It doesn't need some kind of self-help. It doesn't need some psychologist to aid it. A simple word from Jesus would bring amen from his lostness. I don't know about you, but I feel that more than ever. I feel that more than ever, and I am weary. I am even to the point I was asking God to help me. I just get so weary with this church world that is taking the gospel of Jesus Christ, watering it down till it's nothing, and having to get psychologists to come along and put crutches under it and help it because God somehow needs us. I'm telling you, you didn't die for your neighbor. The blood came from Jesus, and he was alone on the cross, and he's enough to die. He's enough to pay the price for sins. He and he alone satisfied the demands of the Holy Father. He and he alone is the Savior of the world. He and he alone is the justifier of those that are ungodly. He and he alone is the sanctifier of men. He and he alone is the Holy Ghost baptizer, and he doesn't need the psychology of today's world system to bolster it. What he needs is us to live in the power of it so that folks can see it's really real. We're going to live in this righteousness and do what's right. Go over to the Lamb. Be a lover this morning. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, my. I told you two things. I want you to lift your hand in prayer. I told you two things, and I've emphasized it. Again, how it's got to come from the heart and gave you an illustration in John chapter 5. We've got to be committed to doing God's will and to seeking his glory. If those two things are gone, you are lost. You cannot make it. Again, we'll talk about what all that means, but you got to get first to see that you've got to do God's will and seek God's glory. Self-will can't be in the picture. Amen? Now, you got those in your mind this morning? All right, lift your hand and thank the Lord today for helping us. Father, help us. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for being here. Help me, God, and all my loved ones that may come under the conviction. Help me not to ever lift that conviction. Help me not to work against the Holy Ghost, but to work with the Holy Ghost. Lord, that if they're in the death row, if they're feeling the pain and the agony, Lord, of their sin and their lostness, let me never ease that agony. Let me never, Lord, ease that pain until they have come to full repentance. And when they come to repentance, then they can find relief. Then they can find salvation. Then they can find joy and peace and love. Teach us, teach us, teach us, teach us, teach us, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.